Welcome to episode 18 from Stories from the VO Booth. I'm your host, voiceover talent, and voiceover trainer, Tina Zaremba. Today I'm talking with Tom Hambleton, the Minister of Fancy Noises, sound engineer, and so much more at Undertone Music. Tom is equal parts composer, sound designer, and re-recording artist with over 20 years of experience in all genres of film, TV, and other media. Listen in as he shares his thoughts on home studios versus recording studios, challenges he's seen talent experience in actual voiceover sessions, and information regarding voiceover workshops he holds at Undertone and more. Tom Hambleton, thank you for taking the time to talk with me today.
Of course, anytime, Tina.
So why don't you tell the listeners where you are and what exactly you do?
I'm in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm downtown in the North Warehouse District, the now Tony Warehouse District. I moved here 18 years ago when it was a little bit ragtag with artists and some industrial people down here. And I was able to build out a nice studio and pay $800 a month in rent and had free parking.
Wow.
And now 18 years later, I'm paying $850 a month in rent. No, I'm paying a lot more than that in rent.
Well, no, I wasn't sure because commercial in New York, they lock you in sometimes at like 20 years, but then it goes skyrocket afterwards.
Yeah, and we don't have rent control here. It was literally, since I'm a business, I do 5 to 6 year leases. So I did a 5 year lease that went up, you know, $100 a month.
Okay.
Every year. But I have a lot of space now. This is my voiceover booth in my main studio A.
You have a couple floors there, don't you?
You have a couple of floors. We do music and sound for film and TV, so I need a couple of edit rooms, and we record a lot of voiceovers, but we also mix a lot of short format stuff, commercials, corporate pieces. We work on a lot of films. So I have a couple editors work for me. So there's three edit rooms that are just sound editing. In my studio A, we mix and clients come in to produce voiceovers, and I write music, so I produce music out of this. And earlier today, one of our voiceover workshop attendees came in to sing a karaoke thing for a feature film that I'm working on. An actress who's in the scene was singing the Carly song, You're So Vain, and she's such a terrible singer that we had to replace her. So we got one of our gals to come down, and she's a good singer. She's like, you know, yeah, I'll go to the karaoke bar with my friends and have a couple of Manhattans and sing. So she came in and did that. And then I have a second floor that has a much larger theatrical mixing room where I work on feature films and short films and documentaries.
Let me ask you, I work with a studio in New York when I have those situations, and I can call them up. And I have a decent rate with them. They give me a talent rate, and they will record and do the editing for me. Do you guys offer anything like that for talent?
Yeah. I always mention that to talent. If you want to either just send us the files and have us edit, we'll cut you a deal. Or if you want to come in and use our studio because of Source Connect or ISDN, and you want to work with a client that's out of town, let us take care of it. I'll cut you a talent rate deal. I want to make sure that I'm not overpricing them. And right. As long as I get a basic pro rate, then yes, we offer that. And the three guys who work for me have all spent many hours editing voiceovers, not just taking up breaths and cleaning things up, but rearranging things. And we've got methods for creating file names easily, for auto renaming, you know, processing, all of that kind of stuff that I think is beyond some talent, not every talent. But yes, that's another avenue for us is to say to talent, look, if you need editing help, we're happy to do that for you, even if we weren't in on the record.
That's great, just because that's a huge burden for talent who have these big e-learning or trainings that they do. That's good to know, especially for people who are in your area in Minneapolis. Let me ask you, what have you seen as the biggest challenges for talent when they're in a session and you're observing? Where do they get in their way? What do you think they could do differently to make a session run more smoothly?
I'm seeing a lot more new green talent who have mm-hmm. very little experience.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody starts somewhere. You know, when you get used to dealing with the veterans and the union talent, they understand what the client is asking, what they're looking for, and they know how to translate it. Mm-hmm. They know how to take what was literally said and say, okay, that's not what they really mean. They don't really know what they're saying. So let me translate it into what I think they want.
Right, right, right.
And a newer talent doesn't understand yet. Very few of them do. Some of them do, but very few of them do. I think keeping their energy level and consistency up and not having it flag, and also consistency within their reads, and taking in five directions, understanding all of them and having it follow on the script and not make it sound like they were reading the script. So it can be very complicated session where they're like, I need you to hit this. I want you to billboard that, but I want you to back off on that. I'll go up on this, go down on that. And then remember, you know, how to pronounce this complicated word here. And I need you to speed up 5%. You know,
so that, basically you're saying talent that can remain calm and take in all that direction.
Yes. And then give a read that made a difference. Mm-hmm. I'll call them unsuccessful sessions where they were given directions and there was no difference in their read. Mm. I think a lot of people can't hear it. I think a lot of people can't hear when they're doing something that the creative people or the producer or the engineer are trying to get them out of. They don't hear that it's clanging or sticking out at right angles or being awkward. They simply don't hear it. You know, I don't know, you know, how you came up or how people, you know, older than you, you know, how much training they received. I think that a lot of people can easily get into this and sell themselves and get lucky on a couple of gigs. And then when things start getting more challenging, they don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm. I say all the time, a good friend of mine, she always said that voiceovers is acting on steroids. And I swear she is so right, because I have a background in acting. And even still, I can remember my first few years feeling like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? And then finally working with a specific voiceover coach.
Yeah. I think it's great, the technology, how it's able to connect us, like how you and I are connected now, and how you're doing voiceover coaching on Skype or Zoom or whatever you're doing it on. So people do have access now to coaches in other cities to learn from people who are doing things in a market that's larger than theirs. I think that's all great. I think it's always a double-edged sword. I mean, there's wonderful things about it and there's things that we're losing and we're missing. And you're right. Voiceover is acting on steroids, and it's learning to not listen to your voice, but make the words jump off the page in a believable performance. And I think that a lot of the newer people, that was my phone.
You got a clown there?
Riding a clown bicycle just came through. I'm in a session. I think that they don't know how to alter their performance right away. There's been several people in town who've had amazing instruments, but they didn't know how to use it. And after a while, they stopped getting work because the client was like, yeah, it just sounded awkward. It never was believable. And I think that believability in a read is something that is the most challenging part of doing a VO, because it's a very artificial situation. You're in a booth, you have headphones on, you got a microphone in front of you, and maybe your small closet. You could be hiding under a table, or you could be in a professional booth and you got people around you and you have to perform. You don't get rehearsal. There's no stage. There's no blocking. There's no weeks and weeks and tech. It's like you have an hour to bring this thing to life and then get out and move on to the next thing. So it's very challenging. And I see a lot of people who that's overwhelming to them. It's just overwhelming. I remember one guy coming out of the booth after a session that clearly wasn't working. And he was almost telling the client, like, it's actually really hard to take in all the direction that you want and stay on task. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe it. It's like, well, this is your last session. You're never going to be hired again. And I can understand from a personal point of view what he was dealing with. But those are all the things that you need to master to make it look like this is easy.
Yeah,
but it's not. is, you know, you mean you need to make it look easy, but the prep that you're doing in your head and the planning and the sense memory that you're tapping into is all work that no one else sees. The point is that people don't understand how hard voiceover is. They don't understand how much work needs to go into it because they think that it's easy. You just need to have a good sounding voice and be able to read words without stumbling, and that's it.
Right. It's telling a story. If I had a nickel for every time someone said to me, you know, my aunt says I have an interesting voice. I've always wanted to do voiceovers. I'm like, oy vey. So this is a good transition to talk about the workshops that you hold at Undertone. Tell us what those are about. I obviously know, but the value that you also see from people participating in these workshops.
Beth and I started it because we saw a need for an intermediate to advanced level workshop where we were working with people who had some experience, they had some acting background, but they were maybe somewhat new or had been floundering for 5 or so years and not really booking anything. Mm-hmm. And we really wanted to focus it on the read, on the performance, on getting them to a spot where they could do what we call more bookable reads. Mm-hmm. And it's the kind of thing that if you are in this industry for 30 years, you don't realize how much you know. You think you don't know anything, and then it starts coming out. All of these experiences you've had and things that you've learned because it reminds you of this, reminds you of that. So Beth and I started it because we wanted a small, high-quality voiceover workshop. We really didn't want to do a cattle call newbie, get people in the door, collect their money, and they really shouldn't be in this industry, and we don't care because we're brazenly grabbing for money. We really wanted to not only help people, but give ourselves a quality experience. Yeah. And what we've seen in the workshops was immediate change that day or evening in someone's read to go from something that was very wooden and unsure of itself to something that connected to something more personal that was far more believable immediately. And we got a lot of responses from people about that. And then when you came in, I think Beth and I had done, no, you came in, that was the first one that I did. And then Beth and I did some stuff after that.
Uh-huh.
And you know, you have a different style because you come from everybody is a little different and everybody has different motivation. You came at it much more from how you motivate yourself to do things and gave people a lot of fun, different ways to try to get them out of themselves, to get them out of holding themselves down into a constrained or a rut where they're just simply giving a bad performance of a script. And, you know, you had a lot of really fun ways to get people to try to do things to kind of open themselves up to be able to access parts of themselves and their acting self that could more easily lend itself to giving a good read. And I know that we've seen a lot of people who have been in my studio before and have been hired. And I, of course, don't have time to coach them through the session because we have an hour and we have to get through it. And I may have just been the engineer, have come into our workshops and immediately become better at their workshops and then have contacted us and said, I'm giving better reads now. My agent is noticing that I'm getting better reads. I booked a bunch of stuff. There's one guy I have seen for years and I always thought he was okay. He's a nice guy. And I kept encouraging him to take the workshop and he kept blowing me off thinking like, I've been doing this for 5 or 6 years. What do I know? And he came in and it was very clear that he was excellent at the logic of the read and he had a good sounding instrument, but that's all he had. Mm. And he never knew how to connect. And I think that many producers don't know how to get an actor to where they want to go because the actor doesn't know how to get there. I've been in sessions before where a smart, talented, experienced talent may just say, let me do one more. And I know what they're thinking in their head. They're like, dude, you have not elicited a good performance. Let me just really give you one. And everyone goes, oh, that was fantastic. So I think what we have to do is we have to inform and educate the talent now more than we ever did because there's less and less good feedback and coaching and direction coming from the people that are hiring the people to do the voiceover.
What you say is so true, in that if a talent knows who they are, then all the noise that they hear, that cacophony of noise from the creative to the account manager that could be there to the copywriter and all different opinions on how to do the read, if they can just settle in and know who they are, it all seems to work out, you know, because yes. They're just centered and taking it in. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Even if you don't have them, it's just like, okay, I've heard you. And then they go and speak their truth, and it usually does land.
What we've been finding is it's exactly what you say. It's the speaking the truth. And I think that many voice talent don't know that. And they've discovered that in our workshops. And you get at it a number of different ways, from doing, you know, what you like to do, a character detour, mm-hmm. or some crazy thing. But what it does is it opens you up to a truth that was not available to you. So I think that the best voice talent come in and just say, I've got a smorgasbord of things I can do for you, and they're readily available. What do you want, and how can I piece it together as an artist to tell your message, given the confines of the time, given the confines of the script, how it's constructed and the language that's in it, but I've got that available to me. And I think what you're trying to do, and Beth and I'm trying to do, is get people to access their tools better, to sharpen their tools, but give them access to not only more tools, but give them access to their tools faster.
Yes.
It will make sense go faster. It'll make their lives easier. It'll make the producer's life easier. But it is that the newer talent who don't quite get it, have no idea how to get to their truth, have no idea to get to the truth of the read.
Yeah, I see that. And I also see people, though, who have been in the business for a while and have been have fallen into a rut in what worked 5 years ago may not be working right now. You know?
Absolutely.
And so they have to shake it up.
You know, Beth has said that she heard a instructor say once, you know, it used to be that everyone was shouting at us in the 70s and 80s from the radio, and we don't believe the shouting anymore. The styles have changed. I have had people come into my booth and they've got this amazing FM radio sound as soon as it comes out of their mouth, and they can't lose it. And it sounds great, but that's a dead style. Nobody wants it anymore. They want a real person. And if you can do the FM radio thing and be a real person, then fantastic. But if you can only do the FM radio, I've sent those people to agents just because I was trying to do them a favor, and I knew what the agents were going to say. They said that sound just doesn't work anymore. So you have to keep on your game and keep evolving with the styles. It may come back around again to certain things, but I really think that voice talent don't realize they got to keep working and evolving.
Yep, absolutely. So how can people learn more about you? Possibly, and you do demos as well, right? So if people want to...
Yes. Okay. I've produced many, many, many voiceover demos. I've been lucky to have two really good friends that wanted voiceover demos, and they were like, knock it out of the park, first time demo people. And when I sent them to the agents, they got signed and started doing work right away. If people want to get a hold of me, they can go to undertonemusic.com. UNDERTONEMUSIC.com. And, you know, you can poke around, you can see our VO workshop page. You can see not only the studio, but you can email us through there and get a hold of us that way.
Oh, thank you, Tom. Not Hamilton, Hambleton. And I so appreciate you. And I will see you in a few weeks.
Stay tuned next week for episode 19, where I'm talking with Mark Scott, voiceover talent and the creator of VOpreneur. Mark talks about how he went from being a struggling voiceover artist to thriving voiceover talent and voiceover coach. He has an amazing online business called VOpreneur that supports VO artists in knowing how to build their voiceover business in a way that's true to them, as well as helps them market their business. You're going to want to listen in. And a reminder, you're invited to take part in my free 5-day VO challenge. Go to tinazaremba.com/challenge to learn more and sign up. Until next time, here's to owning our voices. Stories from the VO Booth is produced at Lotus Productions in New York. Special thanks to producer and editor, Sam Ufret. Until next time, here's to owning our voices.